guest wisdom seekers, Ben and Tendy, Ben Revere, Garrett Richards risks the beer. I check my league 10 times a day. What else do I have to say?
So how good is Mike Montgomery? Is Logan Morrison a thing again? And who leads the American League in triples? We will answer those questions for you and more on today's episode of Fantasy Baseball Today. I am Adam Azer. Hello, everyone. And hello, Scott White.
Hello, Adam Azer.
Yes, that is
nice
me.
Nice to talk to you again.
It is always nice to talk to you. I thought we were going to get a little Chris Towers action on here, the fantasy wet blanket Chris Towers. and I have a song to sing for Chris, and he's not here. But I'll try to get him on.
Nice that he has a nickname, the fantasy wet blanket.
He was a wet blanket about Rhys Hoskins. He said, you know, only five of his home runs have been 400 feet or something like that.
Ah, so. Yes. We did discuss that yesterday.
Yeah, so I have a song.
Only half of those home runs he's hitting 70 at-bats.
I have a Rhys Lightning parody that I was going to sing to Chris, but he's not here.
Well, now you're going to have to sing it anyway, now that you brought it up.
I'm going to try to get him on just for like 20 seconds so I can sing to him.
Okay.
But
sounds good.
Scott, who leads the American League in triples?
Well, I believe Evan Gaddis did last year, but I don't think it's him. It's triples. I don't often look at that. I will guess
Nick Castellanos.
That Brett Gardner does.
It's Nick Castellanos.
Ah, Nick Castellanos.
Isn't that weird?
It's about as weird as Evan Gaddis.
Yeah, it's weird.
I kind of topped it with an even weirder tidbit from last year, didn't I?
Oh, the Evan Gaddis thing? Yeah, the Evan Gaddis thing. That was so crazy. What's not crazy, though?
Well, you know what? It's not even true. In 2015, Gaddis had 11 triples, but it wasn't a league-leading total. So it was 2 years ago and didn't quite lead the league. So sorry.
Okay, fair enough. It was still crazy to hit 11 triples. Now, what's not crazy, though, is using ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, with ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Try it for free, everyone. ZipRecruiter.com/strike. If you're hiring, it's a really good website for you, and I'll tell you more about it a little bit later. All right, we got to start with the standouts here, Scott, and I think we got to go to Mike Montgomery, who is 62% owned, and he threw another gem. Not certain that he will make a start this weekend. But what do you think about Mike Montgomery right now? If he does start this weekend, it would be against the Braves.
Hey, guess who just walked in the room?
Oh, he's on.
Chris Towers walked in.
Fantasy wet blanket.
Up a headset.
Chris Towers.
Yeah.
Here he comes.
The fantasy wet blanket. Adam wrote a song just for you, Chris.
We gotta get his mic on.
All right.
There he
What's
is.
The song? What's my song? Okay. Sing me your little sad song,
Adam. If anybody wants to join in on the backup vocals for Rhys Lightning, Rhys Lightning, go for it. Okay, here we go.
I got it.
3, 2, 1. Go Rhys Lightning, you're homering every day. Rhys Lightning, Rhys Lightning. Go Rhys Lightning, Chris Towers think you're just okay. Rhys Lightning, go Rhys Lightning. You cannot reach 400 feet. You're Rhys Lightning. Go. There it is.
Okay.
That's it.
You stayed up all night for that?
Nah, it took me about 2 seconds.
All right. Look, I don't hate Rhys Hoskins. I think it's important to note when players are doing, look, we can get excited, we can be fans, and we can enjoy these incredible moments that guys like Rhys Hoskins and Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge have provided this season. But when it comes to young players specifically, like Rhys Hoskins or Aaron Judge, we tend to get too excited, and we tend to assume that the outlier performance represents normal.
I don't think anybody's thinking he's going
nobody.
To
homer.
Well, nobody thinks he's
homer
going to be
10
a 90,
times
nobody
every
thinks he's
50
going to be
at
a
bats.
90 homer guy. Sure, but people, if Rhys Hoskins finishes this season with 20 home runs, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
And he's what, halfway there?
I would guess he doesn't hit 9 more home runs the rest of the season, but I don't think it matters. I think he's a stud regardless because the plate discipline is so good.
If he hits 20 home runs the rest of the season, people are going to look at him and say, well, this guy needs to be a third-round pick next year. This guy needs to be a fifth-round pick. That's probably too much.
It might be when we line all the players up, but I legitimately think, and it may be as soon as next year, Rhys Hoskins is going to be an elite first baseman in fantasy. There's... There's an obvious top four at the position
that
heading into next
really
year.
Really high.
It's not as high as it used to be because Miguel Cabrera's dropped a lot. Edwin Encarnacion's dropped a little. There's an obvious top five at the position. Daniel Murphy's not going to be eligible there next year. You know, if I had to pick a guy for that fifth spot ranking players for next year, you know, the most sensible pick would be Cody Bellinger after the obvious top four.
All right,
Goldschmidt, Votto, Rizzo, and Freeman.
How about these? You're drafting next season. You need a first baseman. You need a corner infield. You've got Justin Bour, Justin Smoke, and Rhys Hoskins. Who are you taking?
Depends how Rhys Hoskins closes out the season. Today, I would take Justin Smoke.
Okay.
But Rhys Hoskins definitely had a Bour.
What about you, Chris?
Definitely?
I have a hard time looking at Rhys Hoskins and not seeing similar numbers to Anthony Rizzo.
But
I don't think the power potential should be in question at all. He's basically done it 2 years in a row now at three different levels.
Yeah, but how many 400-foot home runs?
But you were pretty impressed with Justin Bour, Scott, earlier this year. You said stud turn.
And showed no signs of slowing down before his injury.
But I think there's a lot more evidence backing up Rhys Hoskins than Justin Bour.
Has Rhys Hoskins ever stopped in the middle of a home run derby to eat a donut? Case closed.
Not yet.
Bye, Chris. Sorry for the terrible song. You would like to know, though, that I got a text message from my wife who overheard me singing. Grease, who are you?
Who did I marry?
Yeah, I don't even know you anymore.
They say it all changes after marriage. Adam.
I guess so. Okay, so that was a nice impromptu Rhys Lightning discussion, and back to Mike Montgomery though. Mike Montgomery,
Mike Montgomery.
What do you think?
I'd be very interested in him if I knew he was going to stay in the rotation. But I think the only way he does is if the Cubs decide to go six man for a while. This is three good starts in a row though. Obviously, one was about a month earlier than the other two. There were some relief appearances mixed in. But great supporting cast. And he's a solid pitcher when he gets the chance.
Yeah. All right, we'll see what happens. I'm not rushing to Adam just because of what Scott said. The Cubs might have to go six man to get Montgomery another start next week or even this week.
Joe Madden has at least floated the idea out. The idea out there, but I don't think it would be long term. If it does happen,
Then teams don't do that long term. Maybe just a turn. Any other standouts from yesterday? It was not the most action packed day, but we can always sing songs about stuff. Any other standouts?
Blake Parker,
from
right?
Yeah.
You seem less than enthused.
I'm tired of guessing who the closer's going to be, but right now, I'd pick Parker.
Two turns in a row, it's been Parker, and he is the Angel. He has been the Angels' best reliever this year. In terms of FIP, he is top 15. He's 15th, basically, among all relievers with at least 30 innings in FIP this year. So he has closer ability. Struck out the side yesterday in the ninth inning. He also walked the guy, but that was the only base runner he allowed. Angels are right in the thick of the playoff race. They've had a ton of save opportunities recently, which is part of what makes it so frustrating that they keep going with different options.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But based on what happened with Parker yesterday and what happened in the Rockies bullpen yesterday, which was also interesting, I would prioritize Parker over McGee right now. I'd prioritize him over anybody in the Cardinals bullpen.
That's fair. Yeah, so Bud Black said that he still believes in Derek Holland, and he pitched him in the ninth. They were trailing. Yeah, Greg Holland. He doesn't believe so much in Derek Holland.
They were trailing by one run.
Yeah, and McGee pitched the eighth, and Holland pitched the ninth. Scoreless,
right.
Both of them.
Right. And I don't know that Holland's back yet. I don't know that he would have used him if it was actually a save opportunity rather than trailing by a run. But it is interesting that Holland was the one working the ninth when McGee, in a game where McGee also pitched.
How about Zach Britton, who got a save yesterday? Britton or Parker?
I mean, we know Britton is a closer, so I have to go Britton right now. If Mike Socia came out this afternoon and said, Blake Parker is my closer, I would rather have Parker.
Parker's only owned in 10% of leagues.
Exactly.
CBS leagues. So there you go.
Need to pump him up a little. You know, I'd rather have Shane Green than Zach Britton.
He's been so good.
And he's only 51% owned.
Yeah. Yep, make it happen. Make it happen, Cap'n. All right, news and notes. Aaron Judge getting a few days off. He has repeatedly received treatment on his shoulder lately, according to MLB.com. I hope there's some type of physical explanation for his slump. It's pretty scary how bad he's been since the All-Star break. But Judge will get a few days to get refreshed. It worked for Andrew Benintendi. It worked for Andrew McCutchen last year. Hopefully it'll work for another guy whose name begins with A. I think that is the key there. The Royals have not scored in 43 innings. They got shut out again. They are five shy of the MLB record. Scott White, do they set the record tonight with six more shutout innings? They are facing Alex Cobb.
I'm going to predict they don't, but it's certainly feasible. Alex Cobb could do that. I mean, any pitcher's capable of stringing together six innings. The Royals right now are too close for comfort, especially since they're fighting for a wild card spot.
Yeah, so I'm glad I started Alex Cobb. We'll see what happens, but love the matchup.
Famous last words.
Now, Danny Duffy was charged with DUI on Sunday, so we will have to keep an eye on that. Ugh. Buster Posey has inflammation and a bone bruise in his thumb. He's day-to-day. Everybody's going to avoid the DL at this point because September's right around the corner, and you're more or less not going on the DL unless you're out for the season. That might be a slight exaggeration, but it's very frustrating.
You're not going on the 15-day DL because 15-day DL means you're not free. You're not freeing up a 40-man roster spot if you just go on the 15-day DL.
Right. Also, if you go on the 15-day DL, you are officially living time traveling to 2016 earlier.
You got me. Yeah, 10-day DL is what I meant. But right. Players might still go on the 60-day DL to get another player on the 40-man roster, which would, in September, mean they're also eligible for the Major League roster.
Trey Turner is going to be back today. Yay! Ian Desmond, he's back. He was originally out of the lineup, but he did replace Carlos Gonzalez, who had a sore ankle. So they kept Trevor Story at shortstop. He had a decent game. And Desmond played in the outfield. Jason Worth is back, Scott. Is Worth worth anything other than a NL-only pick? Oh, I didn't even notice it.
I don't think so. He did homer yesterday, and I imagine there will be some week where the matchups are so good he winds up in my top 10 sleepers column, but I don't think he's should be a big priority for anybody right now.
Jackie Bradley Jr. should be back on Friday. Odubel Herrera could also be back on Friday. And Johnny Cueto could return in about a week. I suppose there's a slight chance this weekend, but I think we're looking at next week for Cueto. What do you expect from Cueto? I do see people emailing randomly, Johnny Cueto's available in my league. Is he a must add for you?
Yeah, he should absolutely be owned. I would want to see him actually have a good start before I activated him in a league, because obviously he hasn't been pitching well all year. I feel like there are physical health related reasons for that are hopefully behind him now, but pass to prove it first. 1-800 prove it.
The Astros are going to play their home games at Tropicana Field in Tampa. Does that change? That's all week. They're going to play six games against the Rangers and then the Mets at Tropicana Field, a much worse park. Does that change anything for you with a fringier Astro?
I mean, it's a more pitcher friendly park than Houston has. So I don't know. I don't know that it changes that much, but I'm just glad they're playing.
Yeah, same here. And we'll see what the crowd is like. We'll probably, all right, cheap shot. Probably going to resemble a Rays game. Cheap shot. I bet. I'm sorry. Justin Bour took swings in a batting cage. Mike Trout said he sat yesterday after he ran into the outfield wall on Sunday. He's 0 for 17. Trout's longest slump of his career is 0 for 18. So keep an eye on that. Noah Syndergaard threw a bullpen session. Still worth a stash, Noah Syndergaard?
Absolutely it is.
Okay. Miguel Cabrera left with back tightness. I hope you didn't start him. And David Wright paused his rehab assignment due to shoulder pain. Don't expect to see him. Not that we were that excited, but it would have been nice to see him back on the field, that's for sure. But hopefully Wright can figure it out. All right. So, yeah, it's weird. It's like, I don't even know where else to go with today's show, right? It was that kind of day yesterday. So we're going to look ahead.
I really thought you were going to go with hopefully Wright can get right.
No, I already did the worth thing, and that was an accident, so.
No, you need to start doing these on purpose.
Okay. Well, you're right. Bingo. We're going to look ahead to 2018 today and talk about Logan Morrison, talk about Jose Ramirez, talk about a couple of middle infielders who have gone to new teams, and all of a sudden they're hitting for a ton of power. That's coming up in a segment, but here's a segment called Still Better Than Polanco, Sad Face. Andrew McCutchen is batting .228 with one home run in August, and he's still better than Polanco.
Yeah, tale of two Augusts, right, for McCutchen?
You mean like last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you have like, you know, your alter ego?
I don't know.
Bizarro. Bizarro Andrew
Bizarro.
McCutchen.
Okay, yeah.
Been bad.
Comic book world.
Do we have anything to say? We still think it's just a slump?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Fine, Scott, whatever.
Sorry.
Change of scenery for a couple of middle infielders. Howie Kendrick is 39% owned. 27 games with the Nationals. He's batting .348. Now, he had a very good batting average with Philadelphia, but he's hit 5 home runs in 27 games. He's slugging .618. OPS over 1,000 for Howie Kendrick with the Nationals. This is a guy who, in his previous 3 seasons, if you take all the games in 3 seasons, I think it was 420 games, give him a 162-game pace, Kendrick was on pace for 8 home runs per year. He's already hit 5 in 27 games with the Nats. Is he just seeing better pitches? You know, he's batting leadoff for a great lineup. Should we buy into Howie Kendrick? He's 39% owned.
I really don't think we should buy into him beyond just a hot hand play. It's not like he has some absurdly high line drive rate to justify the BABIP he's putting up right now. Having a little power helps, but it's not like he's ever really been a power hitter. So I don't really trust it, and I don't think the need is that great outside of deeper leagues.
All right, how about, obviously you want to own, you want to start Eduardo Nunez, but just what he's been doing. They both have played 27 games with their new teams, and Nunez is batting .317 with the Red Sox. He's hit 7 home runs. He has an .899 OPS. And it's not just taking advantage of Fenway. He's got 4 home runs in 17 games at Fenway. He homered last night at the Rogers Center. And now Nunez has 3 home runs in 10 games away from Fenway Park in those 27 games with Boston, mostly home games because the Red Sox play 140 home games a year. But he's probably not going to be shortstop eligible next year, Nunez. He's only made 12 appearances. I don't know. It's amazing. It's amazing what he's done. He's been so good with Boston.
He hardly ever strikes out, too. So I think it's more or less sustainable. He actually has a lower BABIP as a Red Sox than he does as a Giant. And the home runs, they've been kind of high, but I think it's kind of making up for the very few he had with the Giants. Guy hit 16 home runs last year. He has a little bit of pop. I think, you know, home run pace might slow a little, but more or less, this is who Nunez is. You can trust him in your lineup at a weak position.
And he's a steals guy. Now, Nunez has no steals since August 3rd. But at that time, he had played about 80 games. And he had 20 steals. Or 21. And he was right on pace for another 40 steal season, which is what Nunez had last year. It's weird that he hasn't stolen a base in almost a month, but that, you know, those come and go. And he missed some time. He was a little banged up, I think. And he's homering. So Nunez, hooray for Nunez. Would you rather have Nunez or Gregorius?
I would rather have, I forget how I rank them. I think I'd rather have Gregorius unless I specifically needed stolen bases. They're pretty close.
Is Eduardo Nunez the best shortstop eligible player on the Red Sox?
So who else is shortstop eligible on the Red Sox? Bogarts.
Xander,
yeah, Bogarts.
Xander Nogarts.
You know, I am actually doing a 30 bold predictions for 2018 column.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously 30 of them. It's pretty long. Been working on it for a while now. One of those bold predictions is that Xander Bogarts doesn't bounce back next year. His batted ball data is basically all the same as last year, except for the home run to fly ball rate. And that was an outlier for his career. So I kind of think Xander Bogarts, he may not be much better than this. And as for the rest of this year, I don't know. I'm not particularly motivated to start Bogarts. I think right now I'd have to say I'd rather have Nunez.
All right. go to the faith-o-meter with the double dongers from yesterday. How much faith do you have in these guys in your lineup rest of season? They have been slumping. But Jose Ramirez went 2 for 3 with two home runs, a walk, and a steal. Have a game, Jose Ramirez. He still started in 96% of leagues, but previous 32 games, a 583 OPS for Jose Ramirez. And then Logan Morrison, 3 home runs in his last 2 games. Let's start with Ramirez, 0 to 10 on the faith-o-meter.
10 being more faith?
10 is
being total, complete confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Lock in my lineup.
This is the number 3 second baseman in fantasy this year, by the way.
Yeah. So you know what I'm going to say, right?
10?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, this is not the first slump that Ramirez has had. He had a 23-game stretch in May with a 573 OPS. He came out of that. He's got a 32-game stretch with a 583 OPS, and hopefully coming out of that, he had 2 home runs yesterday. What about Lomo? I wrote Lomo off. I thought he was back to being just a non-fantasy asset. And since the All-Star break, he is batting .223 with 8 home runs, but 3 home runs in his last 2 games. Your faith in Lomo?
My faith in Lomo is about a 6. I was on the verge of dropping him in a 12-team points league. Smaller roster size, only 21 spots.
Oh, you were? Well, you dropped him.
Why didn't I drop him?
You did drop him.
Oh, I actually did. Yeah. Yesterday for Sean Manaea. He was who I dropped for Sean Manaea?
Yeah, but it didn't come in until this morning.
Okay. All right. I forgot.
Yep. I thought I had a feeling you forgot.
Well, when you drop Sean Manaea, you have to make... When somebody drops Sean Manaea in your league, you have to make some tough calls. But I'd rather not drop Logan Morrison.
Would you call the person who dropped Sean Manaea an idiot?
I wouldn't, because I wouldn't want to do that to his face.
Yeah, it was me. I did drop Sean Manaea. I didn't know that I wanted to drop Sean Manaea, but I'm in the playoffs. Scott has a bye. I'm in the first round of the playoffs, which is 2 weeks. And
yeah.
Right now, you gotta get guys in your lineup that you trust. So I had to drop Sean Manaea. I think I dropped him for like Eddie Rosario or something, who's actually on my bench. Manaea hasn't really been that good. He's not striking anybody out lately.
No, he's struggled, but I've been encouraged enough by his last 2 starts that if he had a 2-start week coming up, unless it was just 2 dreadful matchups, I'd absolutely start him in a points league like that. So I think I recently had to drop Mike Fultonevich in that league. That's the kind of caliber of pitcher I was looking at. I think Manaea is still a higher caliber than Fulty.
Okay. Anyway, what were you saying about Logan Morrison? You were, 6, you put him on the faith-o-meter.
Yeah. Just that I don't want to drop him. I think, he hasn't gotten as much credit for the adjustments he's made in terms of elevating the ball, being a fly ball revolution guy. But he has absolutely been that this year. So I believe the power's legit. The plate discipline has been pretty good all year. And I think it was just a slump.
All right, so you wouldn't consider dropping Lomo for Justin Bour or Greg Bird?
I wouldn't. Now, I would consider dropping him for Eugenio Suarez, who I recently picked up in that same league and obviously opted to drop Lomo instead. Can't start both of them because there's only one utility spot. First base is already occupied by Hosmer, third base by Anthony Rendon. But just for that utility spot, I do trust Suarez a little more than Morrison.
I trust ZipRecruiter to find talent. Now, I'm sure it's not easy to run a business. The people you hire can make or break your company, so you need the best people. How do you find the best talent? Businesses of all sizes are using ZipRecruiter. So it's time for you to get on ZipRecruiter.com and get the word out about your job openings and try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/strike. So with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click, and then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. So what about screening the candidates? Well, ZipRecruiter makes that very, very simple. You don't have to juggle emails. You don't have to take calls in your office. You just screen, rate, and manage the candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within 1 day. Within 1 day. That's tough to beat. So our listeners have a great opportunity here. You can post your jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/strike. That's ZipRecruiter.com ZipRecruiter.com/strike. One more time, everybody, try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/strike. All right, Scott, here's an email for you. Email of the day, as we're going to start looking ahead to 2018 a little bit. This is from Ryan. Dear Walter, Walter, and Walt.
Another one. You know that one?
It's got to be Breaking Bad, right? I mean, he's Walter, and his son is Walter Jr. I don't know the third Walter.
Walt Whitman?
Yeah, that's probably it. How do you gentlemen value Danny Salazar, Zach Godley, Alex Wood, and Luis Castillo for 2018 and beyond? I can only keep one of them, but the cost would be $3, so I'd like to get some feedback. Salazar, Godley, Alex Wood, and Luis Castillo.
Oh, man.
Oh, you got to keep Wood, right, for $3? See the one?
I could make an argument for any of them. And personally, I'm leaning Zach Godley. Now, he's one of... These bold predictions are kind of comically bold. That bold predictions column I told you about, 30 bold predictions for 2018. One of the bold predictions is that Zach Godley is a top three Cy Young finisher in the NL next year.
That is comical.
Wasn't so bold as to put him over Kershaw and Scherzer, but, you know, I think he's an ace. His swinging strike rate is third in all of baseball, and his ground ball rate is still top 10. So he's basically been an ace this year, just some... You know, he's fallen a little short on the innings at times, and the win-loss record, he's gotten burned in that area, so it's not as obvious to people that Godley's become that good. I like Castillo's upside a lot, certainly like Salazar's a lot. Wood seems to have real durability concerns, so I'd put Godley even over him.
That's interesting. I am not... Look, all four of them are worth keeping for $3. I wish Godley threw a little harder. He's kind of like Dylan Bundy-esque with his fastball. I wish he threw a little harder, but look, I wish Kluber threw a little harder. You don't have to have a blazing fastball. I want to see how Godley finishes, because it hasn't been great lately for him.
It hasn't, in terms of the control's been a little off, and that's kind of limited his innings some. But the swinging strike rate has actually gone up during that time. So, you know, it's not like he's just suddenly become not good anymore. Just struggled with control a little. I still have every confidence in him.
All righty. So that's a really good question and good options. Do you think any of them seem like... So, again, the four were Salazar, Godley, Alex Wood, and Luis Castillo. Any four that you think might get overdrafted next year?
Wood would be the best bet to. But I think Alex Wood is good. When he's healthy, he's must start. So I don't know. I could just see a situation where if he, particularly if he comes back, brings that ERA back down closer to two, he might get overdrafted as like a top 20 guy, when I think there are reasons to think he'll fall short of that.
Okay, fair enough. Let's play hopeful or hopeless in 2018. I give you a player, and you tell me if you're hopeful or hopeless in 2018. Michael Franco.
Well, if can I only choose the extremes here? If I can only choose the extremes, which is probably what makes the exercise fun, I'm going to say hopeless.
All right, so what would you like to say about Michael Franco?
I still like how little he strikes out for a player with the power he has, but it's been confounding here now 2 years in a row that it just hasn't translated to very good numbers. Particularly, you'd think it helped with batting average, and it hasn't. Be interested in looking at the batted ball data, because I haven't in a while for him. Only a 231 BABIP, and with not a particularly high fly ball rate. So it's possible he's just had bad luck 2 years in a row, but it gets harder to buy with every year that it happens.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to look up for Michael Franco right now. His rookie season, he came up, he played half a season, and let's just get the stats up.
I mean, the batted ball data... that rookie season and the 2 years since, it's virtually identical year to year. You know, so, some small changes, but nothing that notable.
He played 80 games in 2015, batted .280 with 14 home runs, 26 walks and 52 strikeouts, but or something like that. But I think most of it was confined to like 1 month. That's what I'm going to look up right now. So let's see, in those 80 games, in the month of May, he played only 16 games. We'll ignore that. Yeah, the month of June, .352 batting average and 8 home runs. This is half his home runs came in June. And he was good. Yeah, no, he was good in October. That was three games. How many did he hit? He had 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had 8 home runs in 27 games. And then, you know, July, he only played 24 games. He hit 1 home run. And in August, he only played 10 games. He hit 2 home runs. He batted
.257. Well, if he was playing so few games.
Yeah, actually, I didn't realize he only played 10 games in August. But it was one big hot streak in June for Franco.
Still, I mean, the peripherals seem to support the final numbers, and in fact maybe even undersell them, because even that year he had a .297 BABIP, and again, it's not like his fly ball rate suggests he should be a low BABIP guy. So I don't know, it's been a little weird, but it's been weird for long enough that it's hard to argue against it.
All right, hopeful or hopeless in 2018, Robinson Cano as an elite player?
Elite. He hasn't been elite this year, right?
Oh, hell no. Cano is the number 9 for second baseman in points, number 13 in Roto. I mean,
just wanted to clarify what we meant by elite.
Just be as good as he was in 2016. It was damn good.
I will call that hopeless, though I don't think it's literally hopeless. I don't have much hope for it.
Okay.
But I didn't have much hope for him last year. In fact, I called him a bust going into last year.
I know.
That's how I remember it.
Well, then let's go to this guy, Jonathan Lucroy. Hopeful or hopeless in 2018?
This is the most hopeless of all.
You think so?
Yeah. He has just lost his power. And at an age where it's not terribly surprising for a catcher to do that. I'm just hoping he signs somewhere to be an everyday catcher next year, or, you know, primary catcher.
Okay, so first of all, if he goes to Colorado, I think if he stays in Colorado, I think I'd be okay with him, but
I think there's a pretty good chance of that. If he stays in Colorado, I think I'll still rank him as a top 10 catcher next year.
But he's been really good, of course. All right, let me give you a couple of slash lines. Slash line number one, .265, .310, .395. Everybody got that out there? .265, .310, .395. Slash line number two, .264, .326, .391. They are nearly identical.
Very close, yes.
One is Jonathan Lucroy in 2017. One is Jonathan Lucroy in 2015. So he's already had this terrible year. He bounced back in 2016 and he batted .292 with 24 home runs. Just saying.
I think there was an injury that had something to do with that performance. I don't remember exactly what it was, but that his at bats were lower that year, weren't they?
I do think you're right about that.
And also it was a different offensive environment. That was before the big home run explosion the second half of 2015, so the standard wasn't as high.
And he's
any position.
And he's 2 years older. So yeah. I agree. I just thought that was interesting that he's had the same slash line. All right, how about Mike Zunino as a post-hype breakout next year? Hopeful or hopeless?
Hopeless. He strikes out too much.
Okay. Would you believe that he's the number 12 catcher in points and number 10 in Roto this year?
Catcher so bad that I'd believe it. I mean, he does hit home runs.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a career high batting average here, .232.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess he's already had his breakout then.
Hopeful or hopeless, Ian Happ, everyday player for the Cubs next year.
I am hopeful.
Good.
And I'm not sure how exactly that comes about, because I don't think anybody notable, like Zobrist is going to be a year older, and I presume there will be less incentive to play him.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible they trade somebody, like Baez or Schwarber. It's possible. I'm not saying they will, but it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I have hope for that.
All right. And that has been today's edition of Hopeful or Hopeless in 2018. Back to yesterday's action. Two up, Christian Vasquez. Christian Vasquez, Red Sox catcher, is 17% owned. He is a top six catcher over the last 28 days, batting .400 with three home runs. So he's sixth in points. He's third in Roto. That's with the 30th most at-bats in that stretch of 28 days. So what does that mean to you with Christian Vasquez, who's 17% owned?
Not a whole lot. If it meant more playing time for him, maybe we could talk about it, but he's still starting less often than Sandy Leon.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, let's get Vasquez in there. Now, Scott, a rookie that we haven't talked about enough is Nick Williams. Overshadowed by Reese Lightnin. I wrote a song for Nick Williams. Let's get Chris in here. I will sing it to... No, I'm just kidding. I did not write a song for Nick Williams, but Nick is the number 32 outfielder in points leagues and number 33 in Roto since being called up. That was on June 30th. He's batting .286 with 8 home runs, 30 RBIs, 30 runs, 10 doubles in 51 games, no steals and 2 attempts, but... You know, it's surprising. He's only had 2 weeks with more than 15 fantasy points in that stretch, yet he's top 33 outfielder. I don't know. I think Nick Williams, I know he strikes out a ton, but he's been pretty good. He's 40% owned.
He has been pretty good. He's been in a couple of the staple columns, the waiver wire column, which comes out a few times a week, and in the top 10 sleeper hitters for the upcoming scoring period. He's had regular appearances in both. He's been much better than I expected him to be. A lot of extra base hits. Doesn't walk a lot, which puts a ceiling on what he can do for you, certainly in a points league, really in any format, because it's going to limit his run scoring opportunities in a deep lineup. And, a lot of the hits have been of the extra base variety. It's not like he's had a ton of home runs. He's homered at a decent rate. But yeah. I think he's probably about on the level of like an Eddie Rosario, who's gotten a lot more attention, especially recently.
So who would you rather have, Rosario or Nick Williams?
I think probably Rosario. I think Nick Williams' peak will be higher if it's like a keeper context, but right now I would say Rosario. He feels just a little more trustworthy, I guess.
Okay. I don't want to miss anything. Yesterday wasn't the most exciting day, and Monday is usually our ad drop show. So we talked.
How often do you say that, Adam? I feel like every day you're telling me it wasn't an exciting day.
No, BS. It wasn't. There were 10 games yesterday, and there was nobody that like Mike Montgomery emerged. Blake Parker.
We haven't even
emerged.
Talked about maybe the biggest.
Okay, yeah, so what am I missing?
The most notable performance was Andrew Heaney.
Mm. Andrew Heaney is in the notes. He is in the notes, sir. Okay, let's get to Andrew Heaney then. Andrew Heaney is 21% owned. Lucas Sims is 26% owned. Austin Pruitt is 12% owned. Is Heaney head and shoulders above Pruitt and Sims?
Yes, he is.
All right.
Yes, he is the one in a standard mixed league that I would be looking to add today. Because he comes from the best pedigree, first of all. He was one of the top 5 to 10 pitching prospects in baseball back when he first came up with the Marlins. His only extensive major league action was in 2015. By that point, he had been traded to the Angels. And he had a respectable ERA. It was 3.49, 6.6 strikeouts per 9 innings. So, you know, there was still reason for skepticism. Then he had Tommy John surgery. He's only now coming back from a third start back. And it was against the A's, granted, but 10 strikeouts and more notably 19 swinging strikes. That's only one shy of Carlos Carrasco's season high. And it coincides with some work he did in between starts on his curveball, helping shore up the command of that. It was a pitch he wasn't really able to rely on his first two starts back for the DL. I think if he has all three of his pitches working, we're not going to see double-digit strikeout efforts every time, but I think there's a clear enough talent base here that this time of year he's worth a roll of the dice. I'd take him over somebody like Foltynewicz or certainly Pruitt and who was the third one you mentioned there?
Sims.
Sims, yeah.
All right, so this is Andrew Heaney we're talking about. 21% owned, starting pitcher for the Angels. He will face the Rangers this weekend in the second of two starts. And then I think he's at Seattle next week. So it might be worth a look. And I will just say that the A's are really bad and they strike out a lot. So that is actually why I was okay starting Parker Bridwell this week. It worked for Andrew Heaney. Let's hope it works for Parker Bridwell. We shall see. All right. Well, thank you for pointing that out. I felt like I was missing something, some major storyline from yesterday. So Heaney with a very good performance. Let me talk about Yolish Chacin. Chacin, 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts against the Giants. He has a 1.85 ERA at home. He's home this weekend against the Dodgers. Next week, Chacin is home against the Cardinals. Then he's at Minnesota. Then he's home against Arizona. Then he's home against Colorado. So let's see. Including this weekend, 4 of his next 5 starts are currently, if he goes every 5 games, currently would be home starts. Not to say that they're so great, but the ERA is low. What do you think about Chacin, 66% owned?
I don't know. I've never been that excited about him, even amid all this talk about his home away splits this year. Never been a big strikeout guy. And recently, his last, 4 starts were less than 6 innings. So it's not like even when he's pitching quote unquote well, you can count. I mean, he's had control issues during that time. It's, I'm just not excited. I think he, in the 2 start weeks, like he's currently in, particularly in a points league where you don't have to worry so much about maybe the whip being up there for him with the walks, then he's, yeah, a fine option in a 2 start week. But I don't really care to start him in a 1 start week.
Yolish Chacin we're talking about. Now, Scott, you just said to me, Adam, how many times do you say it wasn't a very eventful day yesterday? And to you, Scott White, I will say, Scott, how many times do you say he doesn't pitch 6 innings? I feel like we have to stop caring about that with some of the fringy starting pitchers, like the last pitcher that you're going to consider starting. You don't want to have multiple guys like that, but I don't really
right.
care that much.
No, it's becoming less common. Honestly, the quality stat start is starting to mean more than it ever has because it's becoming less common for pitchers to go the minimum required for that. But in a way, I think it means we have to pay even more attention to how deep pitchers are pitching into games, because for the longest time, the assumption was if the ratios were good, you could trust that the innings would follow. And that's not true anymore. Some pitchers just don't get the innings.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, innings eaters are a hot commodity these days. Scott, you feel good about Aaron Nola and Jeff Samardzija going forward?
I do. And I don't even think Samardzija had any kind of rough patch, really. This is 6 of 7 quality starts for him. Nola obviously had gotten hit hard the last 2 starts, but everything we liked about him before that is still true, with the velocity being up, the improved secondary arsenal. I think it was just a rough patch. He's good.
Let's look at today's matchups then and start with the Indians and the Yankees. Trevor Bauer at Jaime Garcia.
I don't think I'm going to start either. Learned my lesson with Bauer after that start against the Red Sox last time.
Mariners at Orioles. Erasmo Ramirez, Dylan Bundy.
I'll start Bundy.
Okay.
Been pitching well.
Yeah, actually, this is interesting. Let's see how much rest he's on. I think he's on regular rest. And I do think you should start him. He's earned it. But if he doesn't do well in this start, then I think we can probably look at the... Yeah, so he pitched the 23rd. He's on a little bit extended rest. That'll be a 5-day rest. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. Okay. R.A. Dickey at Mark Leiter. Ooh, tough calls
They're
here.
They're both kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It would depend how much I needed another start. Like, I'm not going to recommend everybody who owns them start them. But if I was looking to squeeze in another start somewhere, either of these pitchers would be a fine option for that this week.
Marlins at Nationals, Vance Worley at Edwin Jackson.
Nope.
Chris Sale, yes. Brett Anderson.
Nope. I didn't even know he was on the Blue Jays. Wow.
Me too. What? Brett Anderson is starting for the Blue Jays tonight? How about that?
When did he wind up there? Okay.
What? There's no way the Red Sox are losing this game. Chris Sale against Brett Anderson? Lock. Lock of the century. We got the Mets and the Reds. Chris Flexen, Sal Romano.
I mean, I like Dickey and Leiter both more than Romano. So for consistency's sake, I'll say sit. But Romano's been a couple good seven-inning starts in a row, and this matchup against the Mets is obviously a very good one. So he could be a sneaky play if you really need another arm.
That's your, like, FanDuel sleeper. Texas and Houston in Tampa Bay, Martin Perez and Mike Fiers.
I'll do Fiers.
Luke Weaver. Oh, I'm singing a Luke Weaver song, Scott. Luke Weaver, Matt Garza.
By the way, I can't really say Luke Weaver anymore. It has to be sung.
Has to be sung. Yeah.
Has to be sung.
At least once per show. Yeah.
Those neural pathways have been etched into my brain.
Braveheart. 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 Braveheart.
Yeah, I'm going to start Luke Weaver.
And sit
I believe he can get me through the night.
Yeah, probably. Not through the ninth, but through the night. Pirates at Cubs, Chad Kuhl and Jake Arrieta.
Well, obviously Arrieta and obviously not cool.
James Shields, Irvin Santana.
Not cool. Irvin Santana is a good play, but not so much Shields.
Alex Cobb, Jake Junis.
Well, I'll go with Cobb, the kind of run the Royals are on right now. This is his first start back from the DL, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little risky.
Actually, no. I think he went like four innings last week.
Yeah, he did. He did. An effective but inefficient 4 1/3for Cobb last time. And yeah, I'll start him. I'm not totally opposed to starting Junis either, though. I would take Dickey and Leiter over him. I might slot him in between them and Romano.
Gotcha. Tigers at Rockies. All right. Michael Fulmer at Coors against Genmar Marquez.
Fulmer when he had in weekly leagues with the two starts, one of them not at Coors Field, but just for tonight if it's a daily league situation. No. No to Marquez, too.
Get your tuners on whatever channel the Dodgers and Diamondbacks are on. Rich Hill at Zach Godley. Start them both.
Both C's.
Chris Smith for the A's. Troy Scribner, excuse me, for the Angels.
Nope.
Giants and Padres. Matt Moore, Luis Perdomo.
Maybe Moore. I will go. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'll go more ahead of both Leiter and Dickey. So I'll give him a probably.
I'm starting him nervously, but I'm starting him. Let's read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This is from Philip. Pick two to start. Berríos, Morton, and Peacock. All one start, guys. Morton and Peacock. Oh. Man. I think they face the Rangers.
Okay.
Is that right? Morton has...
You know what? I'm going to
Peacock
make
has easy. The Mets, and Morton has the Rangers, I think.
Well, okay, that makes it even easier. I was going to say Peacock, but if it's against the Mets on top of it, absolutely Peacock.
So are you going Berríos? Is Berríos facing the White Sox?
Oh, I need to pick two. Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hang on. I can pull that up pretty quickly here.
Yeah, Berríos has the White Sox.
Okay. Yeah, let's make Berríos the second choice then.
Okay. Berríos and Peacock. Charlie Morton, just want to confirm. Oh, no, he also has the Mets. I thought he got the Rangers. He gets the Mets. Ooh, three good matchups.
Okay. All right. Start the Astros then. Peacock and Morton. Sorry, Berríos.
Okay, no problem. And they're both in a better park than they normally would be, pitching against the Mets in Tampa. This is from Hopeful Repeat Champ. A fringe team just dropped Miguel Cabrera. I'm in first place, locked in for a bye for next week as well. Should I put in a claim for Miggy? I currently have Edwin Votto and Zimmerman at first base, corner infield, and utility. Should I put in a claim for Miggy just in case he gets hot?
It would depend on who you're dropping. In the league where somebody dropped Miggy, our 12-team points league, where we don't even have a corner infield spot, I wasn't able to justify dropping anybody for Miggy. So it's not an obvious yes. But if you have just kind of a player you could live without on your bench, sure. Yeah, I mean, there's a chance Cabrera blows up over the final 4 weeks.
David in Chicago, what do you think about Dansby Samsonite, Dansby Swanson, rest of season?
I don't think he's going to quite break the mixed league threshold even at that position. He's been much better since returning, but still not enough power, not enough speed to measure up. He's just a deep league option.
All right, this is from Scott. Do I drop Ian Desmond or Eddie Rosario?
Depends how much you need steals, depends how much you need a shortstop, which Desmond could gain eligibility at some point. Who knows how soon it'll be. All things being equal, I'd take Rosario.
And Johnny Canuck, if that's your real name, that's amazing. He says, dear Bob, Doug, and Hosehead. Oh, I have no idea.
Hosehead.
Bob, Doug. Yeah, clearly we're going to be Googling here.
Okay.
Hosehead the dog saves the day. Strange Brew. I don't know what that is.
It's a movie.
Canada stuff. Our playoffs start in 2 weeks. I've got a first round bye pretty much locked up. Should I still be holding on to Bryce Harper, or should I drop him for some pitching depth? Like I could drop Bryce Harper for Johnny Cueto.
I think you should absolutely hold on to Bryce Harper. He will, I'm fairly confident, get a week or two of action before the end of the season. And I would like to get Cueto on your roster, but Harper's not the way to do it.
Thank you, Scott White. Wonderful job today.
Same to you, Adam. Same to you.
He cannot reach 400 feet. He's recent lightning. It's not bad, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Thanks. No, it really.
Yeah, I'm for anything that hypes up Rhys Hoskins more.
Works for me. All right, so for Scott White and a little bit of Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. We'll come back tomorrow on the Wednesday show. Recap the Tuesday action to get you set for Wednesday's game. See you later.